We become slaves the moment we hand the keys of the definition of reality entirely over to someone else, whether it is a business, an economic theory, a political party, the White House, News World, or CNN. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Doug Michael. That quote was by B.W. Powell. And the title for this presentation is Stepping Away from the Control Paradigm. As always, I thank you for taking the time to listen and to open your mind. It's greatly appreciated. As we teeter on the brink of complete societal, environmental, economic, and cultural breakdown, it seems as if the majority simply goes deeper into the trance, willfully ignoring that which moves all around them. Embracing every distraction imaginable, so many cling on to the greatest illusions, believing in wholesale lies and outright absurdities, and have actually convinced themselves that all is well, that everything is just fine, and that there is some kind of future within this system of imbalance, injustice, narcissism, and complete breakdown. A collective insanity grips humanity like an insatiable consciousness parasite, spreading and growing as the world falls dead and the masses embrace, even celebrate, abject ignorance. They cheer for their own enslavement and throw flowers at the oppressors. Tyranny and subjugation multiply in direct correlation to the collective ignorance a society operates within. Where ignorance abounds, freedom cannot exist. We have reached the point where if humanity does not collectively remove their heads from their asses, the jackboot will come stomping down upon the face of humanity without mercy. This may sound like fear-mongering, but it is nothing of the sort. It is simply where we are, and the stubborn refusal to acknowledge the situation as it is will only bring more misery, suffering, and enslavement. Embracing ignorance over truth in any situation is always a recipe for disaster. From my perspective, one thing that proves that statement is the unprecedented rise in the use of antipsychotic, psychotropic, and SSRI antidepressant drugs. These horrible poisons literally destroy the very humanity of those that willingly ingest such garbage by destroying the neurons in the frontal lobes of the brain that deal with emotion and by interrupting the synapses. They permanently alter the physiology of the brain. The chemical lobotomy that ultimately results from the use of such drugs is turning out droves of smiling depressives, completely detached and dissociated from their own selves. We are emotional beings, so destroying the part of the brain that deals with emotion is to numb and kill such an important aspect of what makes us human. It is self-murder. The online forums are filled with endless testimonies of people who have spoken out and shared their stories about how these drugs have destroyed their lives. I've read several in which people claim that they cannot feel love in the same capacity anymore. There is an agenda here. It is a war on consciousness and a full-on assault against our very humanity. I have personally witnessed people transform from taking these poisons for a length of time. I've watched them become what I call empty vessels. In 1961, member of the Fabian Society, Aldous Huxley, foreshadowed what was approaching when he wrote, "There will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak. Producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods, and this seems to be the final revolution." Now, ladies and gentlemen, realize that the Fabians, the consortium, they love to throw in your face what they're going to do. They do it through movies and media and pop culture and all the rest of it. So when Huxley wrote that, he was telling you what the Fabians had planned. And all we need to do is take an honest look at today's culture and see it all around us. It's in plain view. 21% of Americans are currently prescribed SSRI drugs, and sales of antidepressant and psychotropic drugs rake in an astounding $27 billion annually. The burden of embracing all aspects of the self, which includes the darker aspects, is far too much to bear for so many that they will numb away the very warning signs that arise from undealt with repression and the anxiety that arises from the unconscious commitment to live an inauthentic life. True anxiety arises as a red flag, a warning signal to remind us that we are not living a life that is true to oneself. The commitment to live a lie causes all kinds of red flags and warning signs to arise, you know, depression, anxiety, etc. Hence, this embracing of the murder of the self. I know one person who would even joke as she ingested her antidepressant medicine. She'd say, "Gotta take my happy pill." I have watched this person become an empty shell. Her emotions appear to be a mimicry rather than genuine feelings. I would suggest that if you need a mind-destroying pill to feel happiness, that you have severe emotional and existential problems, not so much medical ones. Humanity is completely dissociated, that is to say, inwardly split and divided. We are born into a system that feeds this split, manufactured division, and we are conditioned into the control paradigm from the moment we begin to learn and develop. It begins with conditioning into the familial structure as parents indoctrinate their children into their beliefs and ideas about reality. Then the kids are sent through their 12-step brainwashing indoctrination that we bravely call education. The entire miseducation system in the U.S. was the very creation of Marxist Fabian socialists. Observe the current climate of college campuses today, you know, with their safe spaces and politically correct language and the complete polarization that is occurring. The ones that stand out or do not fit in are hammered back into place, often through the drugging of the youth with such horrors as Adderall or Ritalin, which does roughly the same kind of damage that SSRI drugs do. Ritalin and Adderall are highly addictive Schedule II stimulants. The education system as it stands creates a hyper-left-brained cognition where free thinking is shunned and creative expression is muted. It turns out generation after generation of indoctrinated robots who have had their critical thinking abilities severely diminished, if not shut down altogether. It's slave training, and if that sounds harsh or conspiratorial, just look into the Common Core curriculum guidelines that are now in place in the schools, and again, simply observe the atmosphere in many college campuses. The entire system is designed to turn your kids into little worker bees that can't even think and will not question their servitude. Just a cursory observation of the youth of today will attest to this. They're a lost generation, enthralled and distracted with technology, divided and propagandized. Now, my generation, the X generation, is no better. I observe droves of infantile adults that appear to be simply kids that need a timeout and a diaper change. So few have the ability to think critically anymore, and their minds are programmed mostly by what they think they know or whatever horse shit and drivel gets spewed from the television. They are TV educated. This is a generation of mindless consumer drones obsessed with celebrity and pop culture who have long ago conceded their right to think for themselves to the control paradigm, and trying to get them to open their minds to any new idea is like shoveling shit against a tidal wave. They celebrate their willfully embraced ignorance and shun or ridicule the few that do question or that haven't lost the ability to think critically. What kind of children will a generation of non-thinking, dumbed down, drugged out, dissociated, spiritually dead, emotionally bereft automatons turn out? The generation of lost souls that are coming up now. When you give your mind away to this control structure, this is what happens. And you somehow believe that our kids will inherit some kind of utopian society? That is assuming that they even give a shit at all about what kind of world that we're leaving to our children. Most do not. Care and compassion have been effectively programmed or drugged out of the mass consciousness, and a culture of complete narcissism and selfish egoic meism has arisen. This ego-centered culture is so out of balance and accord with nature that it will fall, and we have a front row seat. to actually believe that it can go on much longer as it is right now is a complete and utter fucking delusion. And then there's the apathetic mindset. Many are intelligent enough to understand that the state of our country and the world is in shambles. They just don't give a flying fuck. As long as they have theirs, well, why should they care? People like that are extremely delusional because they have bought into the false notion that somehow they will not be affected. They have bought into the illusion of separation and cannot even remotely begin to comprehend that when one human being suffers, we all suffer. They are devoid of any understanding of their connection to nature, to the creative spark, and to one another. They are selfish and self-centered, existing on the outskirts of their very being and completely enslaved by their perceptual illusions, prisoners encaged within their cognitive fortresses. The fact that we are on the cusp of the complete collapse of this system need not be a message of fear, for it can be looked at as a great opportunity for humanity. This paradigm is so corrupted and so completely out of harmony that it needs to come down if humanity is to even hope to rise from the ashes and build something new that works. A paradigm is a model or a template. We can define it as a collective worldview. The current paradigm is one of control and subjugation in which true freedom is spat upon and erroneous and completely disempowering belief systems, ideologies, and falsehoods are embraced, celebrated, and vehemently defended. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I know many of you may have heard me say this before, but again, it bears repeating. Perhaps one of the most destructive false beliefs that is so willingly embraced is the absolutely erroneous belief in authority. The word authority derives from the Latin word auctoritatum, which means command, and from the Latin auctor, which means master or author. So, a belief in outside authority is a belief that some external master is the commander or author of your life. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but in my life, I am the author. I reject any and all outside authority, be it in the form of a god, a guru, a government, an academic expert, a law enforcer, a so-called lover, or any other external influence. This belief in authority has caused untold human misery for thousands of years. We are trained and conditioned at every turn to externalize, to look without instead of looking within. And when the naturally occurring anxiety and depression arises from not being in alignment with the self, we seek to suppress it or even drug it out of existence. Thus, a society, indeed, a planet of broken beings existing on the outskirts of their own being and selfhood is made manifest, and it's leading humanity down a very dark and dangerous road. The control paradigm wants a collectivized herd, and that's exactly what exists. The entire New World Order system of control is one built upon the ashes of selfhood and individuality. When a person makes the conscious effort to stand apart from the crowd and be an individual, the collectivized herd ruthlessly attacks that individual and seeks to pull them back into line like crabs in a bucket. When an individual does not waver, they are outcasted, ridiculed, and scorned without mercy simply for not conforming. Certainly, we've forgotten how to celebrate uniqueness, and instead, so many of us seek to fit into the crowd in one way or another. This collectivized mentality will never lead to freedom because the two can never coexist. Walking alone on the road of selfhood is rejected because it is just far easier to go along, to get along, to follow, to conform, and to not think. I've noticed in my personal life that when you refuse to conform to norms or status quo thinking and speak and stand in your truth, especially those who claim to love you, reject you and try to pull you back into the sheep pen. It's astounding, but the man or woman who thinks for themselves is an enormous threat. I put it this way. The greatest threat to the establishment today is the person who can think independently and maintains the ability to continuously scrutinize what they think they know. The challenger of conventional thought, the critical thinker, the man or woman of ideas is the enemy, the one who walks alone. She will not join, she will not conform, she will not waver, she has detached from the herd. The free thinker is perceived as the dangerous one. His ideas are a danger to the system, to his peers, and to the rigid confines of ego-centered consciousness. He is a rebel in the truest sense. He is the sane amongst the insane, the one whose guidance comes only from within. Think for yourself and watch the lie become dust beneath your feet. Thinking for oneself? What a rarity in this circus carnival of insanity that we call culture. Most would rather die than ever think for themselves. It's just astounding to me that people wish to remain within collectivized ignorance and still imagine themselves to be free. The massive over-identification with ego consciousness, which is propped up and encouraged at every turn, only solidifies the illusion of separation, and from that illusion will manifest a dystopian global prison of our own making. Never forget that there is an outside influence, but ultimately it is empowered because we allow it to be so. We allow evil to flourish by ignoring it, and we permit the vilest and most sadistic psychopaths to rule over us. This willful act of turning a blind eye and choosing ignorance over truth is what is causing and sustaining the mess we find ourselves within. The outer world of manifested reality is a direct projection of the collective consciousness. The control paradigm works primarily through mind control, psychological manipulation, and subconscious conditioning to create the outer world of manifested reality that the controllers want. Since the controllers are incapable of creation and operate at a lower vibratory frequency, right? Because psychopaths are devoid of compassion and the creative element, thus are not human in the truest sense. They condition the mass consciousness to create and project the reality that they prefer, which is one of imbalance, disharmony, suffering, greed, chaos, and despair, completely in contradiction to harmony and balance, but in line with their frequency and their imbalanced consciousness. Our collective intention and energy is manipulated to feed the beast, so to speak. The ruling class is psychopathic and completely parasitic, a reflection of the collective consciousness parasite that infects humanity, and in recent times, it has slipped out of the shadows and now operates in plain view for all to see, or at least for those who are willing to look. Unfortunately, far too many are either afraid to look or just unwilling. So instead, they live their lives in total denial, in a delusional state of separation, falsely believing that they are free. They are slaves, and until one can admit that to oneself, there is no hope of ever being free at all. Oh yes, they can buy into the illusion of freedom, but that just ensures deeper enslavement and locks the mind up tight within a psychological prison cell. In fact, the control paradigm would not work so comprehensively without the illusion of freedom. And this is precisely where the majority are at right now, and it can only lead to ruin. I love this little quote. It's from the philosopher Vernon Howard, and he stated, "Human sickness is so severe that few can bear to look at it, but those who do will become well." You have been lied to your entire life, and you're a slave. It's the truly intelligent person that realizes this. Intelligence is the understanding that you have been sold lie upon lie upon lie. How does the ego react to hearing that truth? It kicks, it screams, it fights with all of its strength to reject that painful reality. The ego has defense mechanisms and doesn't like it when its false delusions are challenged or scrutinized. But this is exactly what must be done on the individual level, and it's hard work which is why so many would rather embrace slavery, you know, or die. I observe from a detached perspective, and I'm incredulous at how comprehensively mind-controlled the average person truly is. It's astounding. So few even seem to have the ability to conjure up an original thought, and so few have the courage to stand in their truth and live it, regardless of what other people think. Fear of ridicule is another major brick in the wall of psychological imprisonment, and so is the incessant need for approval from others. Those who conform usually seem to insist that others conform also, and the brave few who refuse to conform are attacked without mercy by the gormless herd, and history, as well as the present moment, is replete with examples of this. Eventually, a servant of truth is no longer affected by this, and I can tell you from personal experience, when you make the commitment to search for and serve the truth, you do not win many friends. In fact, you lose quite a few. People have come and gone in and out of my life, and so many have gone, not because they didn't like me as a person, but because of my views. When you awaken and step outside of the mental and emotional prison cell, you become a threat to those that cannot or will not free their minds from the control paradigm. When you experience a shift in consciousness, you vibrate at a higher rate of frequency, and this is very uncomfortable to those who refuse to expand their awareness. Many people get very angry, even sometimes downright violent, when you upset the apple cart. Again, it's very difficult to walk the road of awareness and selfhood. It is a constant effort and a continuous rethinking of your perceptions and beliefs. It is to keep what you think you know under constant scrutiny. See why this is so difficult for most people? It's just far easier to exist within a parameter of beliefs, even if they are extremely limiting. The ego has worked very hard to build its precious edited belief structures and cognitive fortresses, and when that foundation is threatened, the ego rebels. We ignore the dark side of life, or what we do not wish to acknowledge, and that includes our own repressed memories and the things we've been conditioned to fear, or the things that we do not like about ourselves. This imbalanced mind state manifests in the outer world and reflects this collective imbalance back to us, even on the individual level, in our personal relationships. I think that a good first step to walking away from the control paradigm is to understand what the true function of the ego is and to rediscover your own potential, remember who you are, and understand that you are not the thing that you think your thoughts with. In fact, that mechanism is but a tiny aspect of the totality of the psyche, albeit a very persistent and very stubborn aspect. Now, it's when we over-identify with the ego that so many problems arise, and we are about to witness the consequences of this as our civilization falls into ruin. It's happened before throughout history, and it's happening now. Ladies and gentlemen, what is about to occur across this planet will shake it to its core. Once it is discovered who and what you truly are, you can begin to allow ego to function as it is meant to and do its job. It believes itself to be the boss, but it's not. It's the falsely enthroned king. Stepping away from the control paradigm is, to me, a massive process of unlearning. It is the shedding of everything that is untrue in order to discover what is true. It is a process of negation and deconstruction. It is a very painful thing at first, letting, you know, all of your precious beliefs fall away, but it's necessary and highly rewarding in the long run. If you are engaged in this process, others will become extremely uncomfortable around you, especially if you're vocal about it. Most will just view you as crazy because the person becoming sane appears that way to the insane. You'll get labeled a kook, a wacko, a nut job, a conspiracy theorist, or whatever, and that's a good sign that you're on the right track. Now, one of the greatest decisions I made in the beginning was to turn off the fucking television. Now, I'm not saying either way that you should or you shouldn't, but I suggest this experiment. Don't watch any TV for 90 days, and instead read nonfiction books for that time. Read stuff that will help you learn things that you did not know before. If you really want to expand your perceptions, read books on occult symbolism, and then, after the 90 days, watch TV again with more educated eyes and see if you notice any difference. One thing is certain, within those 3 months, you will have learned things you did not know before. You will have expanded your knowledge base. Give it a try. I stopped actively watching TV around 1999, the year when I started to awaken. To this day, I very seldom watch any, but when I do, I see it in a whole new way. For example, a few years back, there was a TV commercial for Axe hair gel. In the ad, there is blatant Masonic imagery, and it is no coincidence. This is deliberate. In the ad, the actor was standing on the black and white checkerboard floor in front of the twin pillars and the royal arch. It's blatant. After a while, you begin to see occult symbolism everywhere and realize that it's being used subversively. You see them in advertising, on corporate logos, halls of religion and government, literally everywhere. Symbols speak to the subconscious mind, and these sacred symbols are denigrated to sell you something and to subliminally program the psyche. Advertising and mass media is loaded with subliminal programming through imagery and symbolism, much of which is sexualized to appeal to the baser instincts and sell you something you don't need. Now, television is a great medium. It's not TV itself. It's the abject shit that accounts for, 99.9% of broadcasting. That's the problem. It's how the hidden persuaders are using it that should be understood. The consciousness manipulators are black magicians, dark occultists, or sorcerers, if you like, and it's no exaggeration to refer to them as such. TV is one of the greatest tools of mind control ever invented. You cannot tell me for 1 second that this medium doesn't have an effect on the mind. Just listen to the average adult conversation. Mostly, it's just shallow, empty babble, and so few seem to exhibit the ability to engage in intelligent conversation of any depth anymore. The sorcerers have used this medium as a way to dumb down the masses, and it has been extremely effective. Just look at the typical commercial, which seems to be geared towards the lowest level of intelligence, and you'll see just what I mean. Once you turn it off, read, and begin to expand your knowledge base, you'll probably not want to watch TV very much anymore at all. Stepping away from the control paradigm doesn't mean you have to go live in a cave and be a hermit living off of the land. To me, it's entering into the observer mode and detaching from all of the noise and the nonsense. It is freeing your mind by the act of reevaluating everything you think you know. This process leads to self-discovery. You can still participate in the system, but you are no longer attached to or identified by it. It's like the Neo character from the movie The Matrix taking the red pill and seeing beneath the veil of false reality, right? Remember that movie? A manufactured counterfeit reality has been superimposed over the true reality, and the collective consciousness is manipulated to create and sustain it. When you make the commitment to begin the journey, you will find that you are tested along the way. You will be ridiculed, rejected, scorned, even feared or hated, because as I've said, the awakening person is a threat. People tend to think that walking the spiritual path is all love and light, and that you shouldn't look at all that negative stuff, which of course is a pile of crap. Your resolve will be tested, and you will lose friends, but if someone doesn't want to be your friend because you're walking the road of selfhood, well, then they were probably never really your friend in the first place. Detaching from the herd and stepping away from the control paradigm takes an enormous amount of courage, and discovering the truth about what's going on in the world is not going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy. Anyone that says so is completely full of shit, or they're trying to sell you something. Eventually, secrets are revealed and the flow of information just kind of comes to you. It becomes a journey of self-discovery. Most importantly, crucial in my opinion, don't forget to laugh. Try to enjoy your life in spite of, you know, walking that road of awakening. Because if we allow ourselves to get too mired down, it'll drive you nuts. It could really make you lose your mind, you know? So don't forget to laugh. It's so important. Once you see things as they are, you can see the absurdity of it all and have a good belly laugh at it. Although the situation is dire, laughing in its face is far better than reacting in fear. You disempower the control paradigm by laughing in its face. And seriously, ladies and gentlemen, it's a big fucking joke. Now, the process of awakening will require a lot of reading. This is something else so few engage in. Well, you know, unless it's some stupid romance novel or other such nonsense, some Oprah-approved bullshit that will do nothing in aiding in the expansion of consciousness. Reading is the basis of how we learn in this five-sense reality. The fact that so few want to be bothered with it reflects in the collective herd and can be readily observed in the droves of misinformed people that make up the mass majority. If you want to awaken, you're going to have to read a lot, and this means reading material that you may not think you will agree with. It requires taking in information that will challenge what you think you know. However, the process of awakening is not as much about gaining new information as it is about letting go of preconceived ideas and beliefs. Reading information that challenges your beliefs aids in the process of letting go. Make no mistake, the journey towards enlightenment is a destructive process. It is the destruction of everything that is untrue, false ideas and beliefs about reality and the self, and it is a process of negation. Again, you can see why so few will ever bother with this. The hyperinflated ego has them by the throat, and its fragility is threatened by this process. The ensnared ego does not realize that this process is actually freeing to the ego in the long run, nor does it even recognize that it is a part of something much, much greater. When you discover your own self, you realize that the self wishes to embrace the ego, not obliterate it. When this process occurs, the ego is free to function as it was meant to. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone out there that may be teaching this erroneous idea of destroying the ego, you know, getting rid of that part of the self, they're full of shit. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and I will say that emphatically here and now. Now, again, this process, this does not come easily and without considerable effort. Most locked within the limiting state of consciousness simply prefer distraction over expansion. They are lost little souls buying into every lie of the control structure, especially the lie that they are separate or that nothing exists outside of the five-sense reality. Since the ego is but a tiny aspect of the totality of the psyche, those entrenched within ego-centered consciousness believe that they are small. The ego tricks us into believing this lie, and of course it's encouraged by the control system. Then there's the hyper-over-identification with the roles that we play in life. So many identify the totality of who they are with the jobs they perform or, you know, what it is they do. This is identification with the mask of the persona, and in spiritual terms, it's completely meaningless. You are eternal and infinite consciousness having a human experience. You are not the roles you play, and you are not the thing that you think your thoughts with. Stepping away from the control paradigm is an ongoing process. It is a lifelong journey of unlearning and discovery that, of course, begins on the individual level. No one else can do it for you, and no one can give you a roadmap. Although there are many charlatans out there that do just that, try to sell you a fucking roadmap, only you can discover it, ladies and gentlemen. It's inherent within you already. The answers are already inherent within you, masked and veiled behind a lifetime of conditioning and mind programming. The crucial first step is in realizing that you have in fact been conditioned to view reality in a certain way, the way that the dark occultists want you to see it. The psychological grip is breaking in these times. However, the more the sorcerers tighten their grip of oppression, the more the opportunity arises for individuals to free their minds. No one can initiate the journey for you, and no one can show you the way. This is an individual thing. This is an individual internal journey. Of course, you can have mentors and teachers, but always realize that the true teacher will never tell you to follow them. A real teacher, they don't want followers. They'll tell you, lead yourself. A real teacher will always tell you that it's already within you. And as I've said before, you must strive to become your own teacher, your own shaman, your own master, your own guru. Stop following people. And it includes anything I say, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take it at face value. Detaching from the herd and going within is what will change this world. Until each individual makes the commitment to go within, to recreate oneself, and to stand in the knowledge and the light of what you truly are, nothing in the outer world can or will ever change. It's impossible. There is no more time left to decide what it's going to be. The decision time is here and now in this moment. One path leads to ruin, to a dystopian, technotronic, transhumanist nightmare, or complete extinction. The other leads to true freedom, abundance, harmony, and human beings existing in the paradise that we're meant to thrive within. Which will it be? You must ask yourself and you must answer yourself. Only you and you alone can make that decision. If you leave it to the sorcerers to decide for you, what will manifest in your life will be a literal hell. Choose wisely. And remember, don't forget to laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking your time and opening your mind and listening. I really do truly appreciate it. And I appreciate all the well wishes and all the support I've been getting. Each and every one of you, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is Doug Michael. Until next time. Walk in peace.